Hi, welcome to my talk. The talk is about SE Linux, current state, and OpenSUSE and SUSE. Our journey so far and the road ahead. I'm Kathy. I'm working as SE Linux security engineer in the product security team at SUSE. And I'm maintaining, together with the other colleagues in the slide, the SE Linux policy, the user space toolchain, and in general, basically integrating SE Linux into the system. So the SE Linux working group is like a working group between different teams from SUSE who are like basically working on the topic. So I'm Kathy, I already said that. Then there is Filippo and Johannes, who have been there a long time, so you probably have seen them already on other talks about SE Linux. Then there's Robert Froll, who joined us in February this year. Say hello to Robert. And Yunus, who is our trainee. And then from Team Daedalus, there's Gayane and Zenek, who are also working on SE Linux next to working on other topics. So, yeah. Let's start. So, what we'll cover today is basically what is SE Linux again? Then also, probably you have heard, or maybe you haven't heard, like we switched the default mandatory access control system to SE Linux in Tumbleweed, and I will basically explain why and what we exactly did and what it means for UpArmor as well. Then I will tell you what happened after the switch, like what needed to be done after the switch as well, and what we're currently working on. Then probably I will make like a short like switch, because that's like what we did, but also I want to talk about what that means for you as community members, like as developers and so on. So that's the last part, and then Q&A. So, what is SE Linux again? So my talk is not focused on how SE Linux works exactly, but it's more about what happened and why. So I'll keep this brief. So SE Linux stands for Security Enhanced Linux. It was originally developed by the NSA and then open sourced, and it's basically a mandatory access control system. Mandatory access control means basically that you have a set of rules that are written in the system, and only like people with higher privileges in the system, such as the security administrator or like just basically root, can change these policy-based rules. And they are usually written from like a team who knows how these rules have to look like and shipped within the distributions then. So basically what is mandatory access control from the other perspective as a user. So usually you probably know discretionary access control, which is the Unix file permissions. So read, write, execute, and user and group. And you can basically, as a user, if you own that file, for example, you can change also the access permissions for that file. And mandatory access control is basically on top, so that users cannot, by accident, make different files, for example, word readable or word writable, that could be like a leak of information and stuff like that. So what we're mainly focused on with SE Linux and with our SE Linux development is to confine services. So usually when you have like a long-running service such as a web server, it gets their own discretionary access control users and groups, but we want to also enhance that by saying, okay, great, these you are confined in like a user and in a group, but we also want to say you still cannot do certain things as that, so that if the service gets compromised, we have an additional layer of protection. So, switching the default mandatory access control system in Tumbleweed. For OpenSUSE and SUSE, that's a big shift, because we have relied on UpArmor as the default mandatory access control system for a long time. You might know that. Maybe it's new to you if you're not into that. But basically, that's the system that has been the system for a long time. So what we did is basically switch it to SE Linux. So AppArmor and SE Linux are both mandatory access control systems, both have their pros and cons, basically. And I want to quickly detail why we did that. So why we basically decided to switch SLE 16 first and then also OpenSSL to Tumbleweed. So why? We have more policy modules and more confined services with current SE Linux because it's used by industries and it is like an industry standard. So it is easier to get like support for that and also provide support for that. So that means for like users that you have like a guarantee that it will be supported for a longer time and the system stays as secure as it is promised to do. Then the second reason is that there was like this industry drive to use SE Linux, so there are like certain requirements for certain companies to buy that. But that means also that on the community side, if you have a company, like many companies wanting to have that, then it is easier to also have this, like people work on that, so because they get paid. Then, in general, like SE Linux has like a lot of pros and cons in comparison to AppArmor, but in general, it has like a bigger functionality set. So, for example, there's not only mandatory access control, but also MLS and MCS, which are like additional security mechanism that you can also build on top, which means that in case we want to have that, we can also have that. So how did the whole thing happen on a timeline perspective? So before 2024, there was the requirement that we have SE Linux for SLE 16 by SUSE Product Manager. Then last year, basically, we talked to a bit of like community people at the OpenSUSE conference, and they were basically asking us, so I heard SLE wants to do that, why are we not having it already on Tumbleweed? Because we have the factory first policy, it's better if we have like similar stuff on the enterprise side and on the community side, so that we can benefit each other with like fixes and bugs and stuff like that. So after talking to them, we still wanted to make sure additionally that the people who were not there at the conference could have like a say on that. So in July 2024, we announced like the plan with a request for comment so that people can like tell us their concerns and maybe also like what they think should not happen, what should happen, if that is even a good or bad idea, and if that is like good for the community or not, basically. So we sent this to the factory mailing list, that's just like a screenshot of the email, and basically the feedback we got from the factory mailing list was quite positive. So there were some concerns about how we certain packaging mechanisms will work and stuff like that, but in all, we just then decided that it's okay to do that. So after that decision, I was like, okay, how hard could it be like to switch just like a one mandatory access control system to another? Like, so because for a long time already, OpenSUSE Micro S and all the derivatives, so Aeon and Kalpa, are using SE Linux, and SLE Micro, which is like the enterprise product, is also using SE Linux. So how hard can it be? So it is harder than you think because those both are like focused on like having a minimal set of packages in the base system. So what do we do then? What is the plan for Tumbleweed in this case? So what I thought about was basically, okay, we have to just toggle the installer, run all the OpenQA tests, check if something breaks and fix that. Then run some manual tests, check if something breaks and fix that. And if I say breaks, I mean breaking on the distribution and nothing else. So the build system should be fine, the tests should be fine, Then we will just fix the breakages on like the package and SE Linux policy side, and then adjust our documentation for that and create new images and publish. Well, so we had, unfortunately, we had to delay that timeline because the goal was a bit too optimistic, and I want to tell you why that was. So how hard can this really be? So toggle the default in the installer. So for me, that was like easy. That's like an XML thing, change, submit, done, half an hour max with testing. So then I started to run all the OpenQA tests that exist and check if something breaks. And unfortunately, we discovered that a lot of the OpenQA tests needed fixing because they were like hard coded on AppArmor. But we also we wanted to make them also test SE Linux and also AppArmor because we want to still support AppArmor like in the sense of community support, so the test should also run. And by that, we discovered like this long list of OpenQA tests that needed to be fixed first before we can even test the change. So that took a while. Then after that, we ran some manual tests, and that's fine because the manual tests are not like hard coding anything because like a person does it. So okay, we found some issues and we tracked them as issues and then we started to fix them. Then after the long OpenQA test fixing cycle, we discovered like the bugs, which are like mostly are fine, but then some bugs we did not even expect that something like that could break. So for example, in the installer, there was like some breakage because of how they handle like different SE Linux and AppArmor stuff. Then also in the build system, there was something, and basically we did discover that it can break a lot of things. But we fixed all that, and then we wrote the documentation for that. So if you're interested in the SE Linux documentation, you can check the wiki. There is a portal, SE Linux. So just for you to know that if you have anything that you're not sure about, you can look it up there and also improve it if you want. Then finally, after that, I went to Dominic and Anna, who do the release management and engineering for OpenSUSE Tumbleweed, and they went through the whole process again to make sure that I really did what I did. And then they created the image and published it. So yeah, that's thank you for that. So, and then in February 2025, we finally confirmed the switch to SE Linux for OpenSUSE Tumbleweed. And thank you, Doug, for the blog post there. Right, so I want to, at this point, thank all the people who worked on this, especially Fabian Vogt, because without him, probably this would not have been technically possible, and Dominic and Anna and Doug for the blog posts, and all the QE department and the QE teams who worked on this, because that was quite some work. And also the OpenSUSE community, because I'm pretty like surprised that how many people reported bugs and helped us just to debug those bugs and just enabled us to fixing them, so thank you very much. So, after the switch, what happened after the switch? Because the switch happened in February, so what were you doing, basically? We focused on system stability, so basically we fixed a lot of bugs that were reported in the policy, also like in different packages that are like unrelated to SE Linux, but where SE Linux found issues in the packaging and build environment issues and many, many more. What we're also still doing is, so our SE Linux policy, we're downstream of the Fedora SE Linux policy. So we're trying to be in sync with them, and also we ran into them, and now we have calls with them so that we can contribute upstream more efficiently. And luckily, we seem to have like a certain thing of we see the same issues, we work on the same issues, so we can align our like work together with upstream. And additionally, we improved internal tooling, so that's mainly what our trainee does. So thank you, Yunus, for that. We developed a CI pipeline for smoke testing, and basically the high-level goal for that is to make sure that from bug report to bug fixing, we have a shorter time period so that your bugs get fixed more quickly. So this was the first part, and we will work on that continuously in the next few months. Additionally, that's not for OpenSUSE, but that's for like the enterprise side. We are working on the integration for Slick 16. It's running already in parallel. It has been like Slick 16 even has been having SELinux before that, so that we have like some benefit between like the community and the enterprise side. So there's like additional enterprise testing where bugs get reported, and also benefit the community side so that basically we can fix them on the community side. Also from the community side, there are bugs reported, so we're fixing them, pushing them to the enterprise side. Right. So I'm not sure if you heard about that, but gaming and SELinux was like a pain point for a lot of users until like March, because there are some booleans in SELinux that basically enable different things for certain workloads. Basically, it adds some rules to the main rule set to say, hey, this is allowed. But we didn't want to enable these rule sets in a general sense, because that could mean that we lower the security of server products who do not need this. But also, we needed to find a way to make the gamers happy and also make it just workable out of the box. So what was basically done is that the SELinux policy targeted gaming package was created. Robert made this and also wrote a blog post for that. Basically what it does, what packages can do with that is they can include this as a requirement to the package if it's like a gaming package and it needs these certain modifications that are only for gaming. That will mean that on systems where like gaming is important, you can just basically either install the package directly, or some package can pull it in so that the system is out of the box ready with SELinux and gaming. So what are we currently working on? In OpenSUSE, we're working on atomic and image-based updates. So so to make sure that image-based updates work, you need a certain basically, the package needs to be built in a certain way so that it uses like certain paths and doesn't use certain paths. And SELinux, the SELinux package is not ready for that, neither upstream nor on our side. So we're working on that to make sure that this can be done. Also, we're continuing our like stability efforts, so we're fixing all the issues. We're trying to incorporate also community feedback and working on basically improving the SELinux to have a nice user experience. What we're also doing is expanding the policy coverage. So for example, systemd has, we have on the packaging the systemd experimental package, where stuff that is not yet in systemd but might come into systemd is packaged. So we're working on expanding our policy so that basically if they arrive to the main systemd package, then we have already a policy for that. Also, we are like doing different things for different SUSE-specific services, and basically expanding the policy, also helping upstream with that. So what are we doing in SUSE? SLE 16 and SLE Micro 6.2. Our primary goal is that we have a stable and functional SELinux as default mandatory access control system, which basically is like the product management requirement. That means for us, we're fixing on bugs, we're coordinating with other teams, for example, documentation testing, but also other Linux teams to basically help them enable SELinux as well on their side. Also, we're enabling partner and customer workloads, so we are focusing on SELinux enabled for different partner workloads that have specific needs. That's also something we're working on. So that's basically what we're worked on. Now it's what that means for you, because you didn't just come to my talk to like have a listen to my work report. So what does that mean for you? And I mean really you, like as user, as package maintainer, tester, documentation writer, and developer. I have like for each of them, I have like a slide basically detailing what it means for you, so that you can make sure that on your side we all work on enabling SE Linux and providing basically a good tumbleweed or like a SLI. So as OpenSUSE user, just to give you an overview, what we have here is where we have SE Linux as default and where we don't have SE Linux as default. So in Tumbleweed, we have SE Linux as default mandatory access control system in enforcing mode. But that is only for new installations since this Tumbleweed snapshot. So before that, UpArmor was the default, as I said. So existing installations, we decided not to upgrade them because it could break a lot of things and we didn't want to risk that. So existing ones are still using UpArmor, and UpArmor is also still community maintained, so we can still continue using UpArmor. For MicroS, Aeon, and Kalpa, they were already on SE Linux for a long time, so nothing changed there, and Leap 16 will default to SE Linux then as well. Leap 15 will stay on UpArmor. We won't change that because that could break a lot of people's systems, and we do not want to do that. So, as an OpenSUSE user, what that means for you, that means basically that SE Linux provides protection for a system if you install the basically the snapshot, like the image from the snapshot or data. Just to give you a brief understanding what that means in general is that your services, so if you're running a server and you have long running services, they are confined by SE Linux usually. That means basically they are like this additional layer is added like on top of the existing security there. What we also want you to know is that SE Linux, like our approach for this is that SE Linux should work for the default workload. Like, for example, if you have a web server and you use the default path and the default port, it should work, otherwise it's a bug, and then you can report it to us. But you also have to know that we cannot tweak SE Linux such that it fits for like every workload, because some workloads are just more specialized and complicated. And that means that as a user, if you're running a specialized workload, you would need to also tweak the SE Linux policy configuration. What that exactly means is, for example, if you have a web server and you are running on some non-default ports, so 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, I don't know, then you will need to also tell SE Linux that you're doing that, otherwise it will not work. So that's just basically what it means for you as user, which I mean like a system administrator or like just regular user having Tumbleweed on their desktop. So that's our wiki pages. You can basically read up on that there as well. And also, if you want, you can also enhance the documentation there. So for me, it's important to also that you have seen the most important commands for SE Linux. So you can check the status of SE Linux with SE status. That means there are like different modes for SE Linux. Either it's in enforcing mode, in permissive mode, or disabled. Basically, what it means is enforcing mode means that SE Linux rules are enforced on the system, so you're protected, and basically things that are not defined in the rules will basically not be allowed. Permissive means it will not enforce the rules, it will just log that something has happened. So you can basically check your audit log to see, oh yeah, this program has done something that it shouldn't be doing, maybe I should check more if that is correct. And then there's a disabled mode, which basically means that SE Linux is disabled and you don't have any protection or any logging. What I already said is you have to check the audit log for like to check what SE Linux says you did or did wrong, like something in the service did wrong. So you can do that with AU search minus M AVC, and if you want to have it on a basically say I want to just do it during like. For, see all the denials from boot, you can just add minus TS and boot. You can also add like a time there, and you can say, oh yeah, I will check the audit log from that time on. Then what is also important is sometimes things like what how SE Linux works is that it attaches labels to the file system, so every file has like a label, and basically on that label, SE Linux does the decision if that some access is allowed or not. And sometimes these labels get messed up if you are switching from enforcing and permissive or disabled and enforcing, just if you switch like between these modes. So what you also need to know is restorecon minus V and then basically the path. And you can restore labels to the default setting back again with restorecon. Also, I do not like this, but sometimes if you're during the development process, you need to disable some SE Linux things or just test if SE Linux is breaking something or something else is breaking something. For that, you have set enforce zero, that is temporary disabling of SE Linux, not disabling, but setting it into permissive. So if you have it enforcing, it will set it to permissive. And if you use a set enforce one, you can set it back to enforcing again. What is also really helpful for debugging if you're working with an SE Linux program is the policy core utils Python utils package. There you can, for example, set different non-standard file locations. So if you're moving your default location of the web server somewhere else and you configure that in the web server, you also need to configure that in SE Linux, and you can just do SE manage fcontext minus h and it will show you how to do that and set the file context there. Same for ports, so SE manage also allows you to set the ports as administrator and enable different booleans. So SE Linux booleans, just to quickly talk about that, this is basically to different workloads are already known by the SE Linux team, and these are like implemented in booleans. So if you basically have a specialized workload that is like really common but not common in the sense that we would enable it in a general system, then you can use the boolean to enable the rules for that, and then it will allow the workload. Also, you can set certain domains to permissive mode, which basically means you can tell without disabling SE Linux in total, you can basically set certain parts of SE Linux to permissive while you're working on them. All right. Long story, just like to, sorry that you have seen that. What I want to talk to you as well is bug reporting. So what helps us and also helps the other people in the community is if you find a bug, report the bug. So usually, at least when I started, it was like hard for me to know when to like how to report the bug and stuff like that. So I wrote this page, and you can basically click on the blue links and they will give you a template that you'd need to just fill out with the stuff that is described in the wiki page, and then we have everything that we need to work on the bug. So, yeah, that's the user side. What does it mean for package maintainers? So if you're a package maintainer, I would really urge you to enforce and enable SE Linux on your test machine so that you see what breaks, because if the default is SE Linux in enforcing mode, then you should test that in the same mode as well. Also, what you have to check is some services have a SE Linux module, and if you check the process list, you can see they still running as unconfined service T. That probably means that there is a problem and there's a bug, and please report this to us. We're trying to have like a more general approach for that, but if you see something like that, please report it to us. Also, as I already said on the user side, please check the audit log for AVC denials. Usually, if everything works, there shouldn't be any. So if you're like testing your package and there are some, you can report them to us or we can talk about it. Also, some upstream projects provide a SELinux module for the specific package. So what you can also do is just add this custom SELinux module to your package. We also have a guide for that on this page. So that's for the package maintainers. What about testers? So testers, please monitor for denials and also don't ignore them because that they indicate that something breaks. So please report them to us. Just like paste the denial, paste what you did, and just with that you can help us out immensely. What also is important is that ensuring that policy updates do not include regressions. So we're testing, like we're already testing before, but it makes sense to run like a lot of tests over them as well. And for that, we have also a guide in the wiki. What that means, like also for documentation writers, is because we relied on AppArmor for that long, please revisit existing documentation and check if they are still working that way with SELinux. So sometimes you need to enable, for certain workloads, you need to enable Booleans, or you need to set some file context, and for that, it could be that you need to add this to the documentation as well. So that would be something that is really important, otherwise the documentation might not work. Also, what is really helpful is that that you could become more familiar with like SELinux and also the custom paths, ports, and Booleans and how to set them so that it's easier for you to write the documentation. Right. What does it mean for you as developer? So, if you're a developer who is like working on a piece of software for OpenSUSE, or maybe you want to help the upstream project somewhere, so and you need to SELinux enable the workload, then please talk to us early so that it's not like we have to write a policy in one day, because it takes some time and also some iterations for us and for like the development teams. So please talk to us early. Then also feel free to be encouraged to create SELinux modules as well by yourself. Just read up on them. You can write your own one and include them into your package as well. What is also important to me personally is that you automate the testing for SELinux as well. So you check after your testing, you check your audit log, and it should be empty. And if it's not, then that you can identify this early and either report this to us or fix this with your own custom module. That is like super important to me because like there are like people who work on SELinux for a while, and that's something they discovered, that the issue is that early in testing people ignored some SELinux stuff, and then in the end it will break for everyone. So. Also, if you are like a developer who is not yet considering working with SELinux, consider just doing it and also submitting your stuff upstream to the project, so that helps them immensely. And if you want to know how to write such a custom module or like general, you can use this link. Right. So that concludes my talk. You can contact us via the mailing list, or you can contact me via my email, and I also have Matrix. So, yeah, that's basically it. Thank you. Any questions? I'm super blind, so maybe someone could walk around with like the mic. Thanks.
Thank you, Kathy. So my question is sort of around the long-standing perceptions about SELinux. Because as a trainer, one of the things I do as a trainer is you kind of distro hop, and Fedora, Red Hat, I think they were sort of the pioneers of SELinux. My students, the first thing they do, it seems like right after an installation, they would basically do set they would basically disable, so SELinux equals disabled in the config. Eh? And so, and if you look at the documentation across the web, that's almost like the first advice in the forums, just disable SELinux. It also doesn't help that there is an NSA thing kind of associated with that, the origin. So I'm wondering how you guys setting that to try and get everybody excited about SELinux. Because, I mean, you would probably run into the same issue where the first thing someone does, go into the config equals disabled.
Yeah, thank you. That's an important question. So from our side, we approach it like this, that if we identify like the common scenarios where people are always disabling SELinux, we try to find like a more general solution. So the example for that was the gaming situation. So for gaming, it was more like people were just telling, like saying on Reddit, hey, please disable SELinux and it will work. So our approach is then basically to have this package, and the package will then ship with the corresponding programs so that it works by default. So for that, we cannot really do this like in advance because we don't know these specific workloads. But if we see them, we will always try to find a general approach. I hope that answers the question. Thank you. Any other questions?
First, Kathy, thank you for all of this work, like just people like, you know, working so close to the coal face and getting all this super hard work done for all the users and for upstreams and everything. It's so valuable. So building on the last question, is there like a tab in like cockpit or anything like that that maybe creates an easier view into how your SELinux is performing? So if you're like not an SELinux expert, maybe it can give you some help to troubleshoot without just disabling it globally?
Yes, the team, the cockpit team has already a model for that, and you can, there is a user interface to interact with that, and also I think generate the module, so don't quote me on that, but I think there's also like this automatic generation of like your workload models. So there is a user interface in cockpit. So yeah, I hope that answered the question. I think I'm too late, sorry. So thank you very much, and bye.